Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Williams, and joining me today is Jeff Clossy.
Hey, Jay. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. Me too.
Yeah. 2 weeks in a row. We're 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah, man. Dusting off the dust and shaking off the rust, and here we go. Getting those rhythms going.
We must shake off the dust and rust.
I can't think of a word that rhymes with that right now. I really wish I could have.
That would have been amazing.
It would have.
You're a bust. See what I did there? Come on, man. All right. So
I did my best.
Yeah. So you were just telling me that you wanted to get this going and you want this to be a short podcast because you're hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. It's about time to.
I know we're recording it a little later in the morning than we normally do.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone listening knows that means nothing about how long it will actually end up being, because this is a live conversation, you know, not scripted.
Right. We didn't talk about this last week. Well, we did a little bit about how you thought you were going to go really short, and I'd asked, but then you ended up
preaching. Yeah.
Yeah, preaching. And I said, well, did that give you some sympathy for me? And you never really acknowledged that. Gave you any sympathy.
I'm thinking about that still.
You're still thinking about it? Well, I was just thinking, like, yeah, that's what happens when you preach extemporaneously. You just never know. You never know what's going to happen. So we don't know what's going to happen here.
No, we don't.
But we're going to dive in.
Let's dive in.
All right. So this past weekend, we talked about listening to God. And I also kind of gave a foreshadowing of what's to come, that we're going to do this series on politics. And I have to say that the response when I said that was pretty awesome.
Like the facial expressions?
Yeah, or? It was kind of a, but
everyone's kind of squirming in their seats a little bit.
A little bit, but if people have been around, and what's interesting is we have so many new people that I could understand that who knows what they're thinking. Like, I can't even imagine all the scenarios that might be running through their head. So I hope that I didn't scare any of them away. I think that the people who have been here for a while, I hope have some trust in that they're like, oh boy, this could be fun, but you know, it could be whatever it is. But I really thought it was intentional because I wanted to let people know that was coming. But also, this was kind of you could have called this the first sermon in that series.
In the series, yes.
We could have. It was kind of like a lead-in. It was an intentional lead-in. So it wasn't a standalone, like, what do I want to talk about randomly? It was an intentional lead-in into the series. And I'm curious what your thoughts are, because I know you had affirmed that would be a really great thing to kind of center ourselves on before going into that. But I got to talk about why I thought that was important, but why did you think that was an important lead-in into that series?
Well, I mean, I think whether it's a standalone or a lead-in, this topic of listening to God, being attentive to Him, I mean, it's just something that we typically don't major on. Very few people are going to offer, you know what I'm really nailing right now? I'm really doing a great job of taking time to listen to God. It's just not typical. There probably are people like that, but I would say in my experience, just as a human being and a pastor, that's not normal. I think the reason why it's so important when we want to start thinking about politics, and I think especially this season we're in, you alerted us to it, you reminded us in the middle of that, like we are in a season of pretty high intensity political conversations. I mean, even this week, things are just happening every day that are intense. And this morning I was out walking and praying through a neighborhood in Marinette and just seeing even the every other house signs that didn't match, right? Like there's voices, even when you can't hear it like audibly, there's a voice saying, here's, you know, vote for this person. So I think it's really important for us, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus and follow Him faithfully, to have ears that are attuned to what God is doing, to what God is saying, to how He is leading us, obviously in our interactions with Him. But I think that carries over then, right, into our interactions with each other and our interactions with people. Listen. You know, we need to be people who can be patient and really listen.
And that's challenging. It was really fascinating. My wife pointed out that my demeanor on Sunday she noticed that it was a much calmer demeanor than is typical for me. And obviously some of that is the topic that I'm speaking of, but it's also that I've been really trying over the last couple of weeks to put these things into practice. And it's been really helpful. And I think God is doing that in a lot of people in our church right now. It's always fascinating to me. And you know, when I'm teaching or trying to coach young pastors, one of the things I'll tell them is what was told to me, which is it's not by accident that often what God is doing in you, he's also doing in the congregation and a lot of different people, that it makes sense that he would take a lot of us on a similar pattern. That's just his kindness that a lot of people are thinking about these same things. So one of the things I wanted to point out is I had gotten an email from someone, and I did not officially ask them for permission in this, but it's vague enough that I think, and awesome enough that I think it'll be fine. But they said that they'd been praying about this very thing, that they'd been wanting to hear from God and just trying to figure out what is that, how do you do that, and how they've been growing a lot in their faith recently. And so this has been the last week or so they've been praying this. And so then the sermon, you know, on Sunday for the sermon to be about that. But one of the things they said was they were scrolling TikTok like on Saturday. So before the service, before the message and everything, they're scrolling on TikTok. And one of the TikTok videos was about how do you hear from God? And basically the video was saying, get off your phone, like stop being on TikTok. And so they were just marveling at, holy cow, like this happened. I've been praying, God, help me learn how to hear you better. Then I'm on TikTok, which is distracting me from hearing from God. And then a video on TikTok says, get off of TikTok. And then you talk about this on Sunday. And those things are not coincidental.
They are not.
And it's amazing, like, you know, in the worship song too, I thought, what a great closing song, you know, with Abide. And I almost said something about it, but then I remembered that I had texted Sarah what the topic was going to be. So like one of the things about listening to God, and this is kind of an offshoot that I want to talk to you about, of how do we avoid some of these ditches and how do we pursue this thing without abusing it in different ways or perverting it, which is what we're really good at. Like mm-hmm. we can take any good thing from yes. God and we can pervert it. Well, one of the ways that I want to always be guarded against that is I do believe that God speaks to us, but we don't need to over spiritualize everything. And we don't, he doesn't need us to exaggerate anything. So in the moment, as Sarah is singing that song, I'm thinking, I cannot think of a better song right now, because it literally was just talking about abiding in him. And I'm like, man, that is so incredible that God chose that. And then I thought, man, and she didn't know what I was preaching on. And so I thought I should share that. I'm going like, hey, here's another example. Like this has been happening a lot lately. This is awesome. Then I remembered I had texted her. So I didn't say anything because I thought, well, yeah, she probably got my text. And then she, of course, that makes sense now. And so I don't need to over spiritualize this and be like, oh, look at, you know, does that make sense? Yeah, like what I was trying to avoid. So after the service, I said to Sarah, I'm like, you know, I thought that what a great choice of the song. And I was going to say something, but then I remembered I had texted you. And she said, I picked that song before you texted me. She said, as I was praying about it, I just felt like this is what we need. So it ended up being this really cool thing. I didn't get to share it, but I just shared it now, that like, what an incredible example of that.
It is. I mean, it's so much evidence that we're doing all of this life together in the presence of God, who's working in each one of us. Right. And he, it's not surprising, right, that he would work in a family in similar ways,
right,
like that. And it's just, it's beautiful to me. And I do think even that example there, Jay, that's a good example, that conversation you had with Sarah about the song. It's one of the reasons it's important to connect with each other. Because if you hadn't talked to her about it, you wouldn't even have known that beautiful thing that God was doing. And just being alerted right. to that is powerful. Being alerted to his presence and his voice, and being able to move someone to pick a song that matches perfectly with a theme that you're preaching through is really encouraging. It's encouraging to know that and to hear that, but you wouldn't have known that if you hadn't talked with her afterwards. You just assumed. So I think that's beautiful as well. And that was another, that's another good example, I think, of just why listening is so important. listening, I think you and I are reading a book right now by Eugene Peterson, and he listed listening as one of the most important things that we do as we minister to people.
Yeah.
Which to me is really counterintuitive. I think most of us, me included, would think if you want to disciple someone, if you want to walk with someone as they follow Jesus, you're primarily thinking about what are the things I can share with them, right? And that's important. But to highlight, listening is actually one of the most loving things we do. Listening and really trying to hear not just the words, but what's behind the words, it's so key. And I think, you know, when we come to the Word of God, we need to be doing that as well. What's behind this word from Him? What is He getting at here for my soul and for my life and for my neighbors and people around me? That for me, I mean, I've talked about this a lot, that the Lord's Prayer is a regular part of my prayer life and walk with Jesus. And it's amazing how many times He will speak to me through that word. And it's like, I know the words well, and many of us do. It's such a famous prayer, but I will hear new things from Him about it. So this morning, for example, I was praying and walking, and I was just so struck by the our Father part. And the reason He's my Father is He's adopted me. And the reason I've been able to be adopted is because of the work of Christ. And all of these thoughts came through. And yeah, I think that was my brain operating, but I also think God's Spirit was using that word to speak. And I can tell it was Him because what my soul did with it, what my heart was doing as I was hearing that truth. But again, like you were, I think, pointing out really in an important way on Sunday, some of that for me happened this morning as I was driving here and chose not to turn on like other voices in the car. So it was just me and God. And it allowed for that window of opportunity for my mind to not be occupied by someone else's thoughts. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because it's really a constant temptation to be filling with something, to have some other noise on.
I mean, yeah, that's the way our world works right now. It's, you know, you think about, there have been studies that have shown or just some data that how uncomfortable we are actually with quiet and silence, because for a lot of people, you're always around noise. Like if you live in a city, you're just surrounded by noise all the time. When Laura and I mean, a lot of people know we almost moved to New York City, and when we were there for a week kind of trying it out, that was one of the things that really struck us, was it's just constant noise. And you compare that even, you know, from a few hundred years ago, you would not, I think if we went back in time a few hundred years and we're just somewhere out, it would, the silence would just really be striking to us. Because even if I'm in the mountains or something, or we're out in the woods, like an airplane might fly overhead, or, you know, there's things that happen. And so, or a distant highway, or like there's a lot of noises. It's just the way that we function in this. And so, so it is important for us to remember that we need to unplug from that in order to hear, you know, and incline our ear and want to hear from God, which is at the core of it, right? Like it doesn't do any good. Like we're not talking about some kind of meditation where you just empty your mind. That's not what actually we're doing. You're saying like, no, I want to quiet all the other voices so that I can hear God's voice. So let me ask you in that, because I think that we get a little uncomfortable, but you just pointed out one of the ways that I think is, I tried to point it out talking about how we read scripture. Mm-hmm. But whenever you talk about listening to God, we tend to go into some ditches. Like there's some ways where that gets really perverted and people say like, well, God told me this, or God told me to, you know, told me to do this thing, or told me that this is what, you know, he wants for me. And that's one ditch where it's just not anchored to anything. And it's just kind of like God told me becomes it's a synonym for just like, I felt.
Yeah. Or we're spiritualizing a desire we have.
Right. So tell me about that. I want to hear from you on that of, okay, so that's one ditch. And we'll talk about the other ditch where we just say, well, then it's just safer to not ever use any of that language or whatever, but let's talk about that. Like, what are just some things to be mindful? How do you differentiate between, like you were saying this morning, you're doing the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you differentiate? Do you even differentiate? Like, what does that look like to know how's God speaking to you? And what is it just like, oh, you thought of this thing?
Well, that's a good question. I don't even know in the moment if I was even aware, right? I don't, like you asked the differentiation. I don't know that I was thinking, oh, wow, look, God's speaking. I wasn't. I in that moment, knew that I was meditating on, I was praying his word and praying the Lord's Prayer. And then even in hindsight, I can see, oh, wow, look at what he did. He moved my mind in this way. What I would say, just some cautions maybe might be helpful for that. If you sense maybe God is speaking to me, if it involves other people, so he likes, for example, the humorous one, you know, I was in campus ministry for 13 years. God told me that we are supposed to date. And then the person that is hearing that is thinking, he did not tell me that. yeah. So I had lots of those conversations. So,
but Jess has gotten over it.
Yeah, so she, yeah.
That was nice of
me. Yeah. No, I can't even finish. What was I thinking?
Sorry.
That was good. So whenever, you know, a sense of God's voice involves other people, I would just use extreme caution and hesitate. And I would actually, for me personally, I very rarely will ever say, God told me.
Yeah.
I just won't. I would say, like, you know, I'm sensing or I've been thinking about this. The reason is it's almost like the oath taking. I think you could relate it to that in the New Testament principle about not, you know, taking oaths. Like, my word needs to be able to stand on its own without saying, yeah, but God told me this. When I say, as soon as I like use his name, I'm adding his authority to the thing that I'm saying he said to me. And if it involves other people, I'm sure most of us listening have been on the receiving end of that being done horribly wrong in either an abusive way or a really controlling way. So we just need to protect each other from that. So I would just say, be very cautious about speaking in that way with that level of authority. But if you have this moment, like for example, the one I just described about the Lord's Prayer, and basically what I would say is that's like spiritual insight that I was, mm-hmm. that suddenly went into my mind. Sharing that with someone is pretty safe the way I did it. I'm not prescribing anything for them. I feel like the thing is true according to his word. And in a conversation with a friend, there would be nothing wrong with that if I said, I think that might've been God. But if what I heard then was a prescription somehow for them, now they need to do the same practice. God told me to tell you that, and you need to do it exactly how I do it. I think we're just trying to control each other when that happens. So just be cautious. That's where involving multiple voices in your life is really important. Bouncing it off each other. Like, I think that this might be something God's leading me to do. What do you think? Always being like that open-handed. I think that's just humility. Because here's the thing. It's very clear in scripture that God speaks. He is not silent. It's also very clear that we can mishear him. So we might be hearing something, but not understanding mm-hmm. what he means by it. So both the listening and being attentive to him is important, but also the humility of like, man, maybe I think it means means this, or his word right now that I'm reading means this for me, but I could be wrong. And it doesn't mean that we don't have like confidence. It just means that we realize that we're broken.
Right.
And sometimes the things that we really want, we're very good at making God say the things that we want.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And
what would you add to that? I just feel like those are some helpful cautions maybe of...
I think those are really good. A couple of things I don't know if they add or... So I mentioned this on Sunday a little bit, but one of the first kind of litmus tests, if I feel like maybe God is saying something to me or prompting me to do something or, you know, gives me insight into... you know, his word or to a situation sometimes. Like there are times where if I'm meeting with somebody where I will all of a sudden an insight will pop into my head that I have not been thinking about and has information in it that I do not know. And in that situation, to your point, the way I will always communicate that is, hey, I don't really know where this is coming from. But I just want to throw this out there, and because I don't want to manipulate,
yeah,
you know, because I don't know that that's actually from the Lord. It may have been a thought that just popped in my head. So the question of like, well, how do you know? Well, one is that very first gatekeeper thing is the nature and the character of the voice, mm-hmm. right? Like, what is that thought that came in? We've talked about this before, that if it's shaming or controlling or condemning, or those are the voices of the evil one. So like, that is not, you know, clearly, even if it's quoting scripture, if it's done outside of the fruit of the Spirit or the nature of God and who he is, that is not, you know, so, cause that could absolutely happen. Like, yes. you could essentially Satan, like, and this is gonna, I don't know how this, this is just a reality and we see it in the life of Jesus. Satan could, influence you or tempt you to use scripture, like with scripture, to use scripture in someone's life. So I might, you know, you and I might be talking and I might be struggling with something or whatever, and all of a sudden some scripture pops into your head, but it's in the tone of kind of condemnation or shaming or guilt trip or whatever. Like, I would argue that that isn't, not only is that not of the Spirit, like that may very well be of the enemy, and you may be quoting scripture with it. So the nature of what, like, what is it stirring in your heart? What is it stirring? Like, what's the fruit of it in your soul? Like, if this thought or this impression is producing self-righteousness and judgment and anything like that, that is not of the Spirit. The words of the Spirit will produce the fruit of the Spirit, right? That should be a very natural thing for us to understand. So one would just be, what is the nature of this? And then you mentioned this about kind of confirmation. Mm-hmm. Like you talked about stakes, you know, so if it's something where I feel like God is impressing upon me that like, I'm supposed to quit my job or I'm supposed to date this person or I'm supposed to share this with somebody. Well, now I'm going to want some confirmation from scripture, and I'm going to want confirmation from others.
Yep.
So a big example of that is, think about in our church and how the church plant has come about. We use language like, we believe the Lord is leading us to do this. Mm-hmm. Now, we have not used language of, God told me to do this. I have not received any vision. You have not received any vision that I know of where the Lord like came down and spoke directly to you and said, go plant a church in Marinette. But we have, through prayer, believed that God has prompted us. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, as I was praying about, God, we want to like impact this area, and you know, and just started stirring in our hearts. Like, I started thinking, all of a sudden it started to seem good and right. Like, should we plant a church in Marinette? Like, what are we seeing in Peshtigo? Do we want to see that in Marinette also? Is that, God, is this where you have us? And then including other people into that process. So the elders get included into that process where we're all praying about this now to say, okay, because if God's going to speak, he's not going to just speak to me. He's not going to just speak to you. It is going to be confirmed. And I think that's one of the things that we miss out on. If you are the voice crying out in the wilderness and you're the only one, well, that's kind of Old Testament prophet realm, right? Like, that's not, Jesus is our prophet now. Like, we don't have a lot of prophets running around that are just like declaring, thus saith the Lord. That is not what's happening anymore. And so it'll be confirmed by people. And so as that happened, and then we're thinking, okay, what's our demeanor in this? And what is the vision that keeps coming out in this? And we think about the church plant, and we're thinking about serving the community. We're thinking about loving people and sharing the gospel. It's not expanding Faith Church's kingdom or anything like, what it is stirring in our hearts and the fruit that it is producing, what is this vision producing in us, is the fruit of the Spirit. It's confirmed by other people. It's clearly confirmed by scripture. Like, there's lots of scripture, but I can confirm a lot of things by scripture that I'm not supposed to go do.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and like, in this case too, Jess and I went down to Florida as well as part of this process.
To discern too. Right. And include other people. And
people
to
who
continue.
Didn't even know us.
Yeah. So like, here's the thing is, it's not faithless Mm-mm. to ask God for confirmation of something you believe he is leading you to do, that something you think you're hearing from him. Mm-hmm. That is not faithless. It's actually faithful, because if you Because what you're doing in that is you're declaring, it's not a doubt of God, it's a doubt of myself. Like, I'm not sure, Lord, I'm not perfect in my hearing, so I'm a little hard of hearing. Could you repeat that? You know, which we would do, like, if I knew I had hearing issues and I thought I heard you say, you know, hey, go break the window on my car. I'd be like, could you repeat that instruction? Because that's what it sounded like you said. I'm not sure. You know, that's something where you're like, well, that would not be confirmed. That would not be something you would normally want to do. But if you knew you had a problem hearing or a problem understanding, that happens a lot too. What do? You ask, hey, I want to make sure I'm hearing you right. Is this what you were asking me to do? It's okay. Like, we should do that with God. And then also ask other people. It's really common and helpful to say to somebody, hey, I'm thinking about this. I feel like God is opening this door. Would you help me in this? You know, would you pray with me in this? So the nature of the voice and then confirmation from, you know, God's word and like you said, encountering the, like, what's the collateral, like, what are the situations here? Like you said, an understanding or kind of feeling like, wow, I feel like I got a clearer picture of our Father and sharing that with somebody. There's no downside to that. It is a true statement. It, you know, if that was just from your sanctified mind and you're thinking that, great. Similarly, like, I've felt sometimes in a coffee shop or in a grocery store, just an impression from God to go over and say hi to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or to ask somebody, you know, a question of like, hey, you know, how's your day or whatever. And I felt that prompting. That's also a very low risk thing, right? Now, if I went up to somebody, if I felt like the Lord was telling me to tell that person that they should not get in their car and drive home, that's a very different thing. Like, that has certain, like, there's a certain cost to that, or like a, you're now like putting that into someone's mind or whatever. And as opposed to just like, well, going over and saying hi to somebody is like, that's okay. Like, if you're wrong, there's no downside in that. Like, So I think on big things, you want lots of confirmation. On things that have little to no downside, like, by all means, like, go and respond in faith to what you feel like God is telling you in that moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, remember too, so right now, like, the where we are in our conversation, we're talking about God's voice in a directive, like a guidance sort of way. But a lot of times, I think, when we're interacting with God or we're communing with Him, it's actually what He is doing is not guiding. He's maybe just assuring, or He's comforting, or He's like, I think a lot of times what God is saying to us is, I love you. You're my child. You've been forgiven. Like, things like that. And those will come often, most often, you pointed this out on Sunday, through His word. And He will take His word and do with it things that words on a printed page should not be able to do in our hearts. And that's often, I just wanted to, you know, it goes without saying, but I wanted to say it, that often when He speaks, it's not always, it's not guidance. It's sometimes just relational. It's interactive that way. You know, one other thing you triggered in my mind I wanted to share is sometimes when a person does feel like, I think God's leading me into this new thing. And I'm talking about maybe an endeavor that would be bigger. Not like I should go eat this for dinner, but like a direction life change. You know, sometimes when we think that He might be leading us, like, for example, the church plant, it can be easy to, along with that sense, assume that if He's leading us in that way or kind of directing us in that direction, that then it's going to be easy, or then it will be just like this smooth sailing. And I would just say, from my own experience in life, and if you just read the Bible, the New Testament witness especially, that God's leading a person to serve Him in a specific way or love someone else in a specific way in His name does not mean that that is going to be easy at all. It actually might be the hardest thing you've ever done. And He's calling it, that it means He's still calling you into it. There are moments where we see that actually things happen that, wow, that was easy. That was way smoother than it needed to be. That happens too. But I just wanted to caution, because sometimes we can discount His active presence in our life because maybe the results look different than we assumed they would be.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because all of a sudden it's just flooding my mind over the years of how many people, when they start like believing that God is speaking, they're trying to listen to him. One of the biggest things that happens is hard things come when they are trying to respond in faith, and immediately their response is almost always without exception is, I must have heard God wrong.
Yes.
I remember some really painful situations in the past of in ministry where people chose a road like adoption and felt like God was telling them, calling them to adopt, and then reversed it because it was really hard. And it was really difficult to walk them through that because, you know, and look, I don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. Maybe they did hear God wrong. Maybe that wasn't what they were supposed to do. But what I was definitely trying to impress upon them was, just because this is hard, that's not the way that that it wasn't from God. The question is, what in those situations, I would say, what is this producing? Again, like you'd mentioned, what is this producing in me? Like, as I pursue this versus this, and that's really difficult. But yes, you're right. Like, there's the phrase of the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. There's a sense in which that's really true.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better place to be than right, like abiding in Jesus directly with him, walking with him. Like that is by far the best place to be. But if we mean in a worldly sense, then that is not true, because you obviously, you read any scripture, certainly all of the New Testament, very much people very much in the center of God's will end up martyred or in prison.
Well,
or
yeah, you just suffering. Making me think like vividly right now. We've been mentioning lately that when God called his first disciples who were fishermen and he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's literally God in the flesh speaking audibly, right, in a powerful way. And they listened and obeyed that call. And that was the safest thing in the world for them, and the most dangerous decision that most humans have ever made, because their life was not smooth sailing from that moment on. It was not. Was it the abundant life that all of us desire? Yes. It was the best, most abundant life you could have because it was in him. But that didn't mean it was easy. And when it got rough, it was important that they knew their shepherd's voice calling them, so that they didn't turn back. They didn't think, maybe I wasn't supposed to follow. Maybe that leaving my net behind was a huge mistake. If they're human beings, which they were, I'm sure they had those moments.
Well, it's John the Baptist.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Are you the one, or should we wait for another? Like, yeah. We don't know for sure, but it reads as though he was having some second guessing thoughts.
Yeah, confirm this for me.
Yeah, because I'm in prison and I'm probably going to die. So like, is this, uh-huh, did I completely waste my life? Which is interesting. You know, I think about Paul saying that if the resurrection didn't happen, then we are above all men most to be pitied, that our lives, you know, should look like that we're all in on this life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But what a great example. Think about this. Don't look for confirmation from the world that you're actually following or abiding or listening to God, because think about, I'm sure that of those disciples, that several of them, and we know some of their families were supportive and some I'm sure were not. And Jesus says as much, that you're turning from your mother and your father. And so they didn't end up looking very wise in the end. You know, like if you feel like you're supposed to start a business and people think, oh, you're crazy, like, why would you do that? And then 5 years later, you go public and it's like you've made millions of dollars. Like, everybody go like, man, he was right.
Yep.
Like, that, it turns out that was a great idea. Well, that kind of confirmation was not available to the disciples, because 3 years after following this rabbi, the rabbi is crucified and they're scattered. And many of them, most of them, are put to death eventually. That doesn't look like that played out well. Like, if you were looking at it from a worldly kind of secular view, you'd take a, you know, bird's eye view back in time and you'd say they should have stayed fishermen. Like, they'd still be alive. They would be, you know, happy. And I'm using air quotes, but like, So it is a really important thing to realize that this does not mean that it's going to go swimmingly if God is calling you into something. What he does promise you is that he'll be with you in it and that he is working things together for good. So let me ask this question, because this is the pushback I often get whenever you use this. And we've mentioned, look, there's a lot of ditches to over-spiritualize things, and people have abused this all over the place. And that is not only is that not what we are supporting, we are condemning that and saying like, that's not of God. But what's tempting is we often say, and we use that phrase here a lot, that, you know, we think that the safest place from one ditch is the other ditch. Like, if I want to stay out of this ditch, like, the best place I can be is this other ditch. And I think we do that with hearing from God. So there's a whole other branch and a whole other mindset that says, well, then why? Yeah, all of those things that you're talking about, those can just be avoided if we just say, look, God spoke through his word and he no longer speaks in other ways. Like, it's just safer. Isn't it just safer to say, like, even Paul says in 1 Corinthians, do not go, like, I use Apollos and me as examples so that you may not go beyond what is written. You know, that this idea of God does not, like, we are not saying that God has new revelation and that somebody has, like, new authoritative scripture or prophecy or anything like that. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the living and active word. And so how do you, what would you say to somebody who says, like, yeah, that's, it's just safer than that I just take the word and then, like, I don't go beyond that. Like, God doesn't speak in any other way. It's just like, it's just the word. And then I live my life out from there. And we just shouldn't even be messing around with even language at all that says that we can hear from God, or that, like, why don't, let's just say that God's word says this, and then that's much safer. What would you say to somebody that is in that situation and is either tempted by that or maybe raised in a tradition that has taught that of, like, look at all these abuses over here in this world. It's just much safer to just quote scripture, live your life according to scripture, and that's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, I mean, I would empathize first because, yeah, I get that worry. I get that fear. And I don't think that there's a foolproof way. You know, like, they're, like you mentioned, those ditches are there. They're real. And we need to be aware of that. I guess what I would say is if we just say that, to me, one, we're living in a non-reality. Like, the way God has revealed himself in the scriptures, I mean, I'm just right now thinking of the last sentence of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus promises them, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." To me, if we had asked those first disciples after Jesus died and then was resurrected, what does that mean for you? I don't think that they would have just said, well, we have his word written down. To me, it was a bigger promise than that, of an actual person who is with us presently right now. So I guess I would just encourage a person, if they're fearful of that, I would probably acknowledge, yeah, there's reason to be fearful, but there's also reason to hope and to trust that you can have a relationship with a real person who is promised to be with you to the end of the age. And I think you may spend your life missing out on that reality if you aren't open at all to how he might want to work in that way. That would be my caution for someone who's in that place. I get it, but I don't want you to miss out on what he might have for you. And like I said, I would probably emphasize for that person too, that I do think for most days, for most of us, the way he speaks is not in a directive way. It's not a guiding you to this thing. I don't think that's constant.
Like what you should eat for breakfast.
Yeah,
or like
I don't.
What you should wear today or anything like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it is a much more, like we communicate with each other, and most of the time, like Jay, you and I today, when we're going to interact, it's not one of us asking one of the other ones to do something. That is not the main thing that we do when we interact. We're talking. And I guess I would encourage a person to explore that area of what that might look like to commune. And sometimes it's just the words we're using as well. Like, you know, if you look at the Puritans, they'll often use communion with God as a way of talking about the way that they experience God and his living presence with them. They might not say it in the same way we just did, you know. I think that's really important to define terms and to be open to what a person really means by it. And what would you add to that? I mean,
yeah, I think one is, you, like you said, you're missing out on the fact that we are actually abiding with a living Christ. This is not, the scripture is not, and like I said on Sunday, it's not an ancient text that is just that we can gain some wisdom from. It is the living word of God. And it's his kindness that he has revealed that and given that so that we aren't like, so we are hemmed in a little bit. Like we have like some fence posts that are helpful, you know, that, and like we said, when we're talking about God speaking, it's not like in some new way that is like, that would be contradicting scripture or like, oh no, you know, like now, well, that's the way it was in the first century, but now it's this new thing, which ironically comes as much from the voices that don't claim to be able to hear from God as it does from ones who do. So, and that right there is because here's why it's not safer. It's not safer. Robbie used to point this out that the reason it's not safer to just say, I've got God's word and I got my mind and I'm just going to obey it, is that your mind is not less stained by sin than your emotions or than your impulses or anything else. Like your mind, our minds are just as stained by sin as everything else. And what often happens when, if you kind of take the stance of, you know what, that's too ambiguous to try to hear from God, I'm just going to go with the black and white text and my black and white understanding of it, is like, well, now you've likely misinterpreted. You're not open to correction because it seems plain to you. But the reason it seems plain to you is because your mind that is stained by sin has reasoned and rationalized that this is what this passage means. The history of the church is littered with examples of that idea that, so if you're going to take the stance of, well, I don't need to listen to God, I just have his word already, then what you're actually doing is saying the way to gain understanding and wisdom is through my own reason and my own mind, not the mind of Christ. That's a dangerous place to be, obviously. So there's been all kinds of manipulations of that's how cults start. Right? Like they'll talk about a revelation, but a lot of them, then they point to scripture and like, yeah, but this is what scripture means.
Yeah, It's a reinterpretation.
Right. And, yes. So that's really important. And when you think about, and I love what you said too, that we think about hearing from God means go and don't get on that airplane and eat this for breakfast and everything. Yeah, you're right. That is not ultimately the normal of what we're talking about. What we are talking about mostly is hearing from God exactly the way that you did this morning, of its insight into scripture. So it's, he speaks through his word. And I mentioned it on Sunday. If you really want to hear from him, then be immersed in his word. If you want to hear from him, it's not going to be through just other random things or even just being in nature or whatever. Those can be helpful, but it's primarily through being immersed in his word. And so I was thinking about this and thinking, well, how do we gain understanding of his word? Like, even if you're going to say like, well, we have his word, so we don't need to hear anything else, but how do you gain understanding? Paul says in 1 Corinthians, these are spiritual truths that have to be discerned spiritually. They can't be understood in the flesh. They're foolishness to those who are in the flesh. So how are you going to understand God's living word without the Spirit indwelling and influencing you and speaking to you? And if you don't understand, how will you gain wisdom? God says, James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. Well, what does that mean? If I'm asking him, how am I going to get it? Am I only going to get it through my own reason? Or is James saying, the wisdom comes from God, yes, through his word, but it's through understanding of his word. I don't gain wisdom until I understand the nature and the heart of what he's actually saying. I could read a passage about Paul saying, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. And then I just say like, okay, well, got it. You know, or that women, you know, should have their heads covered while they pray. And if I don't have any discernment, how will I understand what that means if I don't have the Spirit? How will I then apply that with wisdom? How will I use and understand that in wisdom where I can actually change my life? Except through hearing from the Spirit. And then as understanding feeds into wisdom, it also then goes into application. like I've mentioned before, the idea of specific application that the Spirit will impress upon you, that when we're talking about forgiveness, the Spirit will tell you who he's talking about. I've seen that so many times where people would say, or if, you know, if you're called to go out, if I'm preaching a sermon on how we're supposed to go and love the community, there's so many times people will come up to me and say, when you said that, it popped, like the homeless shelter popped in my mind. There's a really good chance that that is the Holy Spirit impressing upon your heart and saying, mm-hmm. this is where I want you to go. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a general application point for the whole church. That was for you. So if you want to know how to apply it, otherwise, what's the alternative? I read scripture and I just apply it in the way that makes sense to me.
Yeah, well, I retain my autonomy.
Right, exactly. Like, that's not safer.
Yeah.
I've created my own. So hear us when we say, man, if you want to hear from God, it is so that we would know him, that our intimacy would grow in him, that we would gain understanding that leads to wisdom, that leads to a changed life. That all comes spiritually. It all comes through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And sometimes it'll feel more direct than other times. Most of the time, I would say in my life that the Spirit has spoken to me, I don't really know, was that direct? Was it indirect? But we know, we have real world examples of that with friendships. Right? How many times have you been talking with a friend and processing something with a friend, and then you leave with a better understanding of the situation? And if you had to pin that down on, was that, well, did I gain that understanding because of this thing that Jeff told me, or is it because of his reaction to this thing that I shared with him, or, you know, where was it in that? Sometimes it's really direct. Sometimes it's really obvious, and sometimes it's not. And it's okay. We can live in the tension with that mystery. But I think the big key is to realize, like, don't fall into the trap of thinking that you can follow Jesus without hearing from the Spirit. It's not possible. But also then don't fall in the trap of like, well, then I have to over-spiritualize everything. God does give us a sanctified mind. We do have the mind of Christ. So we can trust. So you don't want to fall in the other ditch of being like, well, then don't think about anything. Just go on gut reaction all the time. There are people who say that. No, he is, all of our faculties are stained by sin, and all of them are being sanctified and redeemed. And so God will, he will affects our minds and the way we think about things and reason. He affects our emotions. He affects everything. Like, everything is becoming in line with Christ. And so that's ultimately what we mean by just being open and letting him do his work and paying attention to it and listening to him.
You know, you make me think too, one thing I'd recommend for consideration, you know, that it's helped me a lot. And I wouldn't say at all that this is a strong suit for me, like listening to God. I don't know that, like I said at the very beginning of the podcast, it's not an area of great strength. But when I do sense God's nearness, his closeness, like I did this morning, it's usually because a passage of scripture has been memorized and like lives in me now. And so I would encourage consideration. Is it would be worth time to commit to memory and to heart key passages of scripture, sentences and paragraphs. It really is an amazing way of hearing from God and having his word ready. Not so that you can show someone you know it, but so that you can commune with the living Lord who loves you, and he will use his word that way. His Spirit will bring it to your mind, and he will speak new things to you as you have it in you. So I would say if you're hearing this and you're feeling like, I want to experience him more that way, I would suggest, besides what Jay said in his sermon, which is all these great principles, especially just being quiet, commit some of his word to your heart, get it in you, and see what he does with it.
Yeah, I love that, which I think can happen. You know, one of the practical things I said on Sunday that I saw, you know, sometimes you give a practical tip and people are just like, oh, okay. And then every once in a while you give a practical application point and like, you know, that the whole congregation was just like, oh yeah. So I got a big response when I said the read a certain amount of time,
yes,
rather than a certain amount.
Yes.
And that can happen with scripture memory. So it's like we used to, you know, and it's not bad to talk about scripture in all these different ways of like, well, there's meditation, there's memorization, there's reading for, like, yes, that's true. But I think a lot of times the Spirit will direct that there have been times where I'm supposed to read, you know, I was, oh, this was my plan to read all of this, but I just get latched on to a verse. Well, imagine if all I read for 10 minutes, if I set the timer for 10 minutes, but I'm just fixated on this one verse, well, what did I just do? I memorized it. Mm-hmm. Like I committed that and it just meditated on it. And, you know, and so I would just encourage people that it's not wrong at all to use like Bible memorization plans, or those can be really great tools. I'm just saying sometimes all those tools make us feel like it should be more complicated.
Yes.
Those tools exist to serve the simplicity of being in the presence of God and communing with him over his word. And you don't need to like enact all these different methods, all these different times and everything. Like you don't need to overcomplicate it. Just be with him in his word, and the Spirit will, he will guide you in that. And it's an incredible way to live, you know, and being confirmed in his word and being confirmed by others and being encouraged by him and knowing that he's near. And that's what was so exciting. Just, I'll wrap up with that email that I got. What was so exciting is the fruit of that for this person was they felt like God was near and they felt loved. That's why God does any things that he does. It's that we may know that he is who he says he is, and that he loves us the way he says he loves us. And it's incredible that he speaks to us in all these different ways.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, church, we say this constantly and we want to keep saying it. We want to do this together. And so if you want a longer conversation about this, I'd encourage you to have that with someone in your life who you're walking with Jesus alongside of. And you know that the pastors here would love to have that conversation with you as well. So please reach out to those around you that God has put in your life.
Yeah. And you can, if you need help with that, you can email us at connect@faithpeshtigo.com or talk to us on a Sunday. We just want to come to a community, a family lunch. Just had our first family lunch on Sunday and it was great. It was simple and it was great. And just, we saw a lot of people who took that step and had conversations with others, and it was really incredible. So take that step, connect with others. Let us help you do that. We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We hope it's been helpful. Until next time, grace and peace.